go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host. I'm so glad you could join us again. I have a very special guest for you today. It is the one and only Maddie Kay. How are you doing today, Maddie?
Steve, thank you so much for having me. It is such an honor to be here on the podcast with you. I know we've been trying to do this for a couple months now, trying to get on. And there was some things that needed to be settled in life to have this happen and make it done and over with, and make this thing. This is awesome to be here with you today.
I am so excited. I mean, you know, obviously on our podcast, we talk about all kinds of fun things to do with business and guns and everywhere in between, you know, and have a lot of law enforcement listeners. I think there's going to be a lot of folks that are just going to love to hear your story, because in a way it's like you, I will let you tell it, but you know, just to me, it's like so inspiring, kind of the way you reinvented yourself, you know, the way you kind of started over, if you will. But love to hear your full story about, you know, what did you used to do? What are you doing now? How did the transition go? And I'll just I'll let you take the floor and just tell everybody your story.
Absolutely. So I'm a little bit of my background. I'm born and raised here, Long Island, New York. As I say, Long Island, you know, everybody makes fun of me for saying that. I'm married with three kids. And a month ago, on July 29th, I officially was retired from the Nassau County Police Department as a police medic. And I was there for the official time of service between the different governmental entities that I worked for was 20 years and 3 months. Our normal retirement is 25 years here in my job title, but a couple of years ago, on a beautiful sunny day, I was working a beautiful day tour and had a little incident at work where I broke my femur and broke my back. So we'll get into that in a little bit, but basically uniquely, and you know, you say you got a lot of law enforcement people, civil servants, people, gun enthusiasts. They hear police medic, they hear that, they're like, what in the God's name is that? So uniquely here in Long Island, New York, Nassau County, when you call for an ambulance, you get the police and you get a police ambulance. So everywhere else in the country, you get the fire department, you'll get a private company, you'll get, you know, any mix of that. You might get the police department might be responding, you know, to that, you know, call for service to help, you know, especially when you're dealing with, as we call them here in New York, EDP is emotionally disturbed, you know, mental aids, whatever terminology you would use. But here in New York, in my county, everything was done in-house by the police department. We also handled the medevacs. We had, when I was retiring, we had two Bell 429s, and they still had the Bell 407. And then we still, every once in a while, just to the west of us, would get some help from the NYPD Air Sea Rescue 412, which would come out and hover overhead and drop some divers in the water, you know, give us a lift where we needed to go. So that was my career. I started on nights in some very urban settings and some busy neighborhoods. Went to days after a couple of years and spent almost 10 years working on the busiest post in our county. And transitioned to a beach spot for a summer and then kind of realized it was time to slow down a little bit. I wasn't, you know, 23, 24 years old anymore and running around nonstop. And at the time, being a new father was kind of an awakening when you have little kids at home and you're dealing with seeing some of the most horrific things in life that you could imagine. And you know, in our scope, nobody calls 911 when they're having a good day. Nobody calls for help. You know, when I retired, I had 11 alive babies that I delivered, including the one where I met my wife and we went on a date that night. And that was history after that. But nobody calls when they want, you know, when they're having a good day, they're having a barbecue in the backyard and they're saying, hey, let's call the police and let's call for help. Let's call the fire department. Let's call for EMS. So it started to definitely take its toll, mentally, physically, transitioned to a little bit of a nicer, different type of neighborhood, which was still busy, but it was just a different area, if you will. I was a lot closer to home. And around that time, I found myself kind of, I don't want to say bored, but looking for a little bit of, not adrenaline, there was plenty of adrenaline no matter where you went, but a little stimulation. My little daughters loved Disney. We loved Disney. We called ourselves junkies. And kind of by accident got into travel and started working on the side doing travel. Like here in New York, we work, 3 days a week, you know, 3 12-hour tours. And kind of grew and grew into this little side business. And it afforded my wife and I the opportunity to take our kids away a little bit more, put a little bit of more money in the bank, and, continue to, grow. Like I said, in 2018, on this beautiful July day, picture perfect, like the background on your Zoom screen that I'm looking at you on, is an incident where a person under the influence of something did not want to go with us, and it led to a struggle ensued, and ended up breaking my femur, separating the lower spine in a couple of places, and I didn't really know right away that my career was over. It was a couple of months later when they said, your back's kind of messed up. No, you're going to need surgery. You're going to need a fusion. And nobody ever comes back to the street after that. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be a house mouse and not work inside. But it's all I ever knew my entire life. From the day I graduated high school and shipped off to boot camp and left home, all I knew was public service. All I knew was being a part of that. So I had this business on the side, and it kind of transitioned to this, well, I'm not going to be working for the police department much longer, and I need to support a wife, 3 daughters, who at the time they accrued a lot of diapers and a lot of formula and a real expensive, like anybody's wife and children or husbands. So my travel business quickly, I had a lot of time to rehab a broken leg and a broken back, kind of grew. And I took my core values and my desire to have people work for me and work in a business that I would want to work for. And for so many people that come from working in the government and working for people that nothing makes sense. The people that make the decisions, the supervisors, up to the chiefs, commissioners, political figures, nothing ever made sense when it made its way down to the people on the street doing the job. That's very similar to the environment that my wife works in as an emergency room nurse. And I wanted to create this environment, this way within my agency that I grew and was growing exponentially very quickly, that had those core values, had a place where people wanted to come and work for us, be a part of us, be a client of ours, where we provided that excellent service. We provided a place where people came and felt as part of our family. And it's part of what we say, every client is treated like family. And the majority of our clients, our first couple of years, were police officers, firefighters, our paramedics, civil servants, guys from surrounding departments, nurses, first responders, people that were what we would call our brothers and sisters. So we had to provide that expert level of service. And then the word got out and it kind of grew and grew and grew. And to the point where here we are now, it's 2021. It was a long road of the retirement process that I had. It was almost 3 years to the day that, going through surgery and rehab and everything, that they actually said, here you go, here's your, time to turn your shield and ID. And I don't know if I was with you or I was right about to see you when I got notified that, and it was quick. It was like, here's an email, be at police headquarters at this day and this time, you're off the payroll on this day, turn your shield, turn your ID in, here's your, stamped retired ID, and you're done. Have a nice day. And here we are. We're now 51 travel agents throughout the United States. We have three different brands, a full service travel agency, a family Disney Universal type inspired travel agency, and a destination wedding company. And we do a lot of, you know, business stuff for our Apex family. And that is, in a nutshell, the Matty K story of how I came about so quickly to have to adapt, overcome, and realize like, holy crap, I need to, this side hustle is now going to be a full-time hustle, which it already really was, but now a real full-time hustle that's got to be like, I got to provide for my family. And it's been a, you know, good days, bad days, that reinventing yourself. And I think one of the things that I found with entrepreneurs is finding your calling is something that I hear a lot, not just within our Apex group, our Arate group, any of these masterminds. You go into some of these groups, you talk to people, and they're looking for that calling. And I knew what my calling was for forever was to help people. And I had to reinvent myself from this was who Matt was and who Matt is to who I am now. And it's still, it's a struggle every day. For anybody who is in the first responder world, you know, there's certain things in your life, in your career that will stay with you until the day you die. The good, the bad, the indifferent. And it always creeps up on you. There's always those things as you're driving down the street, you hear a siren and it brings you back to something you remember, you know, in your past career. And here I am, I'm, you know, Matt, the travel agency owner, and, you know, growing and continuing. And it's official. I am officially 1 month of retirement from the government. It feels good. Still haven't gotten a retirement check, but I think we were talking about that before we went on the air. But it's really nice. It is.
I mean, it's the one thing that people don't realize that, you know, if you've never started a business or never worked for yourself or never really controlled your own, you know, destiny, if you will, you know, it's a transition. So you kind of had to take it on top of everything else. You know, it had to be hard enough transition just out of law enforcement, just seeing the, you know, you get that relationship with the guys you work with and, you know, just, I mean, I'm sure you still have a lot of great friends from that, but it's not the same when you don't work with them every, you know, three times a week. You know, it's just different dynamic. Just got to be crazy different.
It's crazy different in the fact, and it was multifaceted that I started to see is even before I had gotten hurt and the business started to take off a little bit, there was a little bit of jealousy. And I think that everybody in business who's successful, every entrepreneur, the people around you, they start to change. And I started to notice it a little bit. You had those who were very supportive and were like, cool, Matt, we'll book a trip with you. Let's go hang out. And then you had those who were like, now you're being successful. You're not working overtime. You know, oh, you got a fancy business and you're traveling. Oh, all right, F you, you know. So that changed a little bit. And then obviously when you're not working with them every day, you kind of, you know, I don't want to say forgotten about, but you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, I had people that I saw within days of me retiring that had no idea I'd even gotten hurt. You know, they heard about it. Maybe they did. Oh, I didn't know you were that hurt. I didn't know you were getting retired. When the department order came out, I started getting text messages. Holy crap, we had no idea you were out. You know, people I knew from other precincts, other commands. And like you said, you lose touch with people. People evolve and grow, and especially it's so important in business as an entrepreneur that I could tell you my circle of friends from a year ago even are different than they are today and will probably continue to evolve, that you, the term surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals and your high-performing individuals is so important of that drive and that determination of, you can't fail. There is no failure in business. Yes, I mean, things, look, we made it through COVID as a travel agency where we went from having multi-million dollar quarters to zero. Like, it's like just refund after refund after refund. We had a lot of people unhappy. They were getting credits versus refunds and, you know, what kind of the middleman with certain stuff. And the people that you continue to evolve around and that support you, they change. They really, it's pretty incredible to see that your biggest cheerleaders or the ones that you thought were going to be your cheerleaders aren't anymore. And that the people who are your cheerleaders and are there supporting you and stepping up are other business people, other entrepreneurs, other people who have been there with you and walked your shoes. Same way in the public service world, I could relate to the guy who was having a bad day. I can relate to the guy who is still having nightmares about something he saw 18 years ago. The smells, the sounds, those things don't change. Just like when you get into the business world and the first time you're ripped off by somebody and the first time you lose money and the first time you're scammed, you feel like you are punched in the gut. And my friends in civil service or public service, they don't get that. But you as an entrepreneur, you as a business owner know exactly how that feels. And I tell you, it happened to us. We were conned, scammed, ripped off by somebody who we had actually hired to work for us in another state, who ended up stealing a ton of money from us. And some of it was ignorance on our part and not having systems and processes in place to do checks and balances in as much as a way we should have. And it was an older woman in her 60s. You would have never have expected it. And to the point where, although it was federal charges, unfortunately, the FBI and the U.S. attorney, unless it's over $1 million, they really don't want to get involved. And it took some state charges for it. There was a lot of restitution, but it takes that as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, to get screwed over. It'll never happen again, right? You get screwed. You know, you get screwed once. Nobody's ever going to do that to you again. And I think that's so important when it gets to the people that you surround yourself with are like-minded people that are going to be in your corner on your best of days, on your biggest wins, but also when you're on the floor, kicked in the gut, and on your darkest days are going to be there to help you and lift you up. Those are the people that you need to surround yourself with.
Absolutely agree. 100%. It's just different of the mindsets. Just you'll see with, you know, with some people that are just, you know, hey, I'm okay where I'm at. You know, I don't need to get any better. I'm good enough. You know, good is good enough. And then you have the other side of the mindset where, you know, you'll realize the fact that there is no standing still. You're either sliding backwards or you're moving forward, but there never really is anything such as sliding, you know, standing still. So as soon as you realize that, then you learn to keep moving forward, keep getting better, even if it's just one little step, one little thing every day. And it's just a complete different outlook. You know, I think the one thing that has definitely become a button for me is when people say, oh, you're lucky. You just got lucky. You know, and then depending on what kind of mood I'm in, I'll say either the funny thing is the harder I work, the luckier I get, you know, or I'll give them a lecture about not seeing the years and years of hard work behind the scenes that were tough and the tough times. You know, sometimes they only see the triumph, they see where you are now, but they weren't paying any attention when you were talking, when I was talking about like, I pretty much lost everything back in 2017 and had to start over. You know, I had a great company, pretty large. It went down hard, and I learned so much. You know, I either win or I learn. You know, it's not a loss. To me, it's not a loss unless I keep making the same mistake again. And that's just my own stupidity they got to deal with. But it's just different. And the funny thing is, like, the more you attract the people that are like-minded into your circle, and your circle gets tighter, you know, the stronger your circle gets, and it repels the people that don't get it, which is fine. Cause it really, sometimes it becomes kind of taxing to have the same conversation all over again with different people that just have a mindset that you can't change. And that's okay. You know, we're all different and that's fine. But sometimes it's hard to communicate when they just don't get you, you know, just don't get you at a core level, you know?
I think, you know, and to circle back for a second, one of the things that happen a lot with civil servants is, and when I use the term, so as a first responder, somebody working for the government, some, you know, I was very content. You know, I had my salary, I had my benefits for so long. Yes, if I wanted to, we wanted to go on vacation, you worked a little overtime, you did whatever, but there was never that push by anybody within there to say, hey, you know what? Go buy a piece of real estate, go open a business, go invest in something, dump your money into your 401k, or for us, you know, 403b, 457. It was up until I had a, you know, even as the side business opened, was somebody who was like, hey, listen, do this and do this to maximize your potential in this business. This is how you're going to grow your business. And I was very lucky because, and maybe it was, and not to sound sexist, but in the travel world, there are very few younger men. It's a female-dominated industry. There was a period of time from like 2000, the millennial type, or right around the millennium, around 2000, where travel agents kind of rode off into the sunset with the big box stores opening and selling travel, and Expedia and Orbitz. And then as things, those who stayed around thrived. And now we're back to, you know, even in post-COVID, where people are like, travel agent, I need a travel agent, a travel advisor to help me. I need somebody. So I was very lucky that I was standout, because I came in guns a-blazing, if you will, into the industry with a huge book of business all of a sudden. And people were like, who the F is Matty K and where the hell did he come from? Literally is what it was. And people were like, who are you? What are you doing? Where'd you come from? And to see that I was genuine and I wanted to grow the business. And once I got into the business, it was, how can we make this business better? How can I help people? I went around to my quote unquote competitors, who aren't competitors in our space. Everybody works together. How can I help you? How can you help me? And I was taught the way to push forward. I made an alliance with other people in the industry to teach me. And I think that's what helped propel me forward. You know, it's like two solar guys in the same city beating each other up on social media every day, and they both end up looking like jerks, versus two guys in the solar industry who work in the same town. Hey, let's figure this out. And there's always enough business to go around, you know, and that's so important in so many businesses. Yes, there's, you know, there's competition. Competition is healthy. And it's just so important to have that drive to keep going. And it was something that I honestly, if you asked me 5-6 years ago, I didn't know I had inside. I didn't know that there was, you know, every day it's, I'm up early in the morning, I'm going till late at night, because I choose to, not because I have to. I want to continue to grow. I want to get better. You know, we're doing 40 interviews in the next 8 days of new agents that want to come on and work for us. And it's weeding through them and continuing to grow and continuing to evolve and staying with the times. And it's right back to what you said. It's surrounding yourself with people who are going to push me and kick my butt. That if I'm not doing, I know you're going to pick up the phone and say, Matt, what the hell? What are you doing? Where are you? You know, people that were around each other give us that drive. It's so important. And in business, there's dark days, right? You said in 2017, you almost lost it all. It could happen in a split second. March of 2020, they were shutting the world down. I was like, we were in Punta Cana. I had no idea. They were like, you need to get your asses home. My wife needed to go to work, and I needed to like shut down my business. Or we were going to get stuck in Punta Cana kind of situation. I thought it was done. Everybody thought, all right, 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, then it was, all right, the world's over. Like, what's going on here? I remember 2 weeks, stop the spread, and everything will be back to normal, which has now turned into, what are we in, month 19, 20 at this point? And, but for those, I mean, for your listeners who are in business, entrepreneurs who are coming out of, maybe they're coming from being, you know, a police officer, a firefighter, coming out of the military, transition's hard. And that same drive and determination that you needed every day to get up and go to work and deal with those situations and deal with those tough emotional and physically draining situations, it's going to happen in business. It's going to be different. I think there's a lot less stimulus. The adrenaline rush might be gone. I mean, I still get adrenaline every time I book a flight. I book your flight for something and I get a little, that's my adrenaline rush for the day. But it's different. I had 20 years of adrenaline. Now it's my adrenaline is what flight am I getting on today?
Yeah, I mean, now I understand, you know, you go and visit these resorts to make sure you know what's going on with them. And, you know, there's another 7 bars on this resort I got to check out. I just can't in good conscience be sending my clients here. I understand how it goes, man. I got you. I'm feeling it.
that's a great point is that, yes, one of the perks of the travel business is you do get to travel. You do get to see these places. You will see somebody sent me a message yesterday. Like, Matt, we hope you are enjoying vacation again. But when you get a chance, could you please send me a quote? I'm like, I'm actually not really on vacation. It's my social media. I'm tagging myself all over the world every other day of the week. You know, I tagged 2 days ago. I was in Cabo and yesterday I was in Puerto Vallarta. I'm sorry. Yesterday I was in Cancun. I'm not all over that much, but it's for social media engagement. It gets people talking. It gets people. And some people have that, oh, Matt's away on vacation again. No, it's, you know, nonstop from 7 in the morning until 5, 6, 7 at night. Like you said, I'm doing site inspections. I'm checking resorts, checking places that, yes, is it rough to be sitting at the pool or checking at a bar or a restaurant? And I could tell you all the resorts that have good Don Julio. That's 1,000%. But also, I know that if you pick up the phone and call me or send me an email or send one of my agents an email, I'm sending you to a place that I would go to, I would take my family to, I would send my wife with her girlfriends to or her family to. Because, and I say this on every podcast and every time a client calls, when you travel and you go on vacation, whether you're traveling for business and we travel once a month together or you're traveling with your family, it's an investment. It truly is a financial investment into your health, your well-being, your business, your entrepreneurship. And I want to know that a place that I'm sending you is a place that I can stand behind. It's a place that I would say absolutely go to, or there's a place I'm like, no, don't go there. I mean, I know you love Zoetry, one of a top-notch resorts from AM Resorts. It's as top tier as it gets. It is as great as it gets. It might not even be the most expensive resort out there, but people judge resorts on a couple of things. The pictures you see online, right? We see these great Photoshopped pictures. They judge it on the price, and then they judge it on these reviews that people write online. Now, I don't know about you or anybody listening. Nobody runs to the internet to write a good review. Nope. Some people do. But the majority of the reviews are going to start out with, hey, we really liked the guy when we checked in, but these are all the 30,000 things that were wrong with the place. Mm-hmm. And for most people, you know, I come from New York and coming from being married to an Italian New Yorker, Italian American, who is probably the most amazing cook you could ever imagine. Italian food in our house is a staple of my wife's culture, you know, cooking meatballs and sauce and pasta and all these different things, the 7 fishes on Christmas Eve. So our thought of Italian food might be a little different when we go to the Caribbean and go to an Italian restaurant. So I always say that. So they're like, oh, the Italian restaurant was horrible in Cancun. You're in Mexico. Go have a taco and have a quesadilla. Absolutely. Right? You know, so that's why, you know, you will see me away a lot. I do make it a point to check in destination, the partners from the time you land on a plane in destination, you're getting a level of service that you're not going to get booking online. And that's not self-serving. You can go online and find great deals every day of the week. And I think, you know, today my social media post was, you know, we use, you use a gunsmith to, you know, build your guns for you. You use a lawyer to handle your legal stuff, a dentist to handle your, you know, your teeth. And those things, you could do just about anything going online these days. You could order the parts to build a gun online, right? You know, we could go order parts on, you know, the gun site and kind of build it. Is it going to be done the same way that you do it in the quality? Absolutely not. You're going to go do a teeth whitening thing that you ordered on, you know, Amazon.com. Not going to be the same as the professional dentist doing it. It's the same thing. 90% of the time you use a travel advisor, travel agent, prices are going to be the same. You're just going to get that different level of service that you're never going to get from going on a website. And even if you get the same deal when there's a problem, and I'll use yesterday as an example, I had an Apex executive, a good friend of ours, and she was leaving New York to go on vacation with her kids. And flight was delayed. We had crazy flooding here in New York. Flight was delayed. We've got car services everywhere to pick her up and her kids. Strollers, Disney reservations, all of these things. Guess what? If you booked it online, nobody cares. We'll see you when you get here. My team already had the car services changed. The flights were adjusted. The stroller pickup was adjusted. Dinner reservations, everything was taken care of. And it cost her nothing for that. That's the value that whether it's my business, your business as, your gun shop and being a professional gunsmith. You know, I watched one of your videos the other day of you customizing, I think it was an AR platform for somebody. You can't get that. I could go and put a sticker on the side of an AR and, make it look cool, but it's not the same, right? It's about providing that level of service and adding that value. People are willing to spend money on value and getting that value.
See, and I think people don't realize either, especially on the, for sure on the travel side is, if you go to the same places and, hey, you're booking a flight to go visit your parents or something like that, then okay. Yeah. Then you definitely be good to have the help. But here's to me where you guys really shine is your knowledge of other destinations, especially when we were talking Mexico, because I love Mexico. I go to Mexico a lot. So I'd know if you were full of shit, and you weren't. And everything you talked about, yeah, exactly right on. But unless you got two choices, either you can talk to someone that's been there and have them help you design something that you want to do of places you don't know about, or take your crapshoot of watching travel shows, which are great for inspiration too, at least to get some ideas. But really knowing like, okay, well, yeah, maybe this resort used to be good 5 years ago when that television show was shot, and then they changed ownership, and now it's this, and where you'd know that, where that's probably not going to be even in reviews online. It's just not going to be accurate. So just all the little things like that are just awesome.
It's even. Well, obviously, when you look at the travel shows, and I watch the travel shows sometimes mainly because they have drop dead gorgeous hosts that are in bikinis. And although I'm watching it for business reasons, I happen to have my fair share, but most of those are, they're staying at the Four Seasons in the Maldives and it's $4,000 a night. Not meant everybody's going to have a budget for that. I equate booking travel online a lot of times to internet dating. And people will hear me say this a lot if they listen to me. You can go on an internet dating website. And obviously I'm married, but I watch some people in my circle that do it. And they look great in their Photoshopped pictures online. And then when you go on that blind date for the first time, they're nothing what they appear. It's very similar. You look at these resorts online. And when the majority of people go and look for a resort, it's based on, like I said, price, what the amenities are, and what the pictures look like. You're shopping with your eyes. You're shopping with that sense. And there's so many places there that, oh, I'm a five-star resort. I said this on a podcast the other day. I could go open the Matty Key Travel Resort in Cozumel tomorrow and say it's a five-star resort. Meanwhile, it's a dump. Doesn't matter. I could dub it whatever you want to dub it. It's not until you start getting accreditations, leading hotels of the world, your AAA, your true star ratings, that it matters. But some of the best hotels, some of my favorite places that my kids love, my family loves, that has the best food, the best booze, the best experience, are not your five-star places. They're more of your budget places. And there's just so much out there. And in a lot of ways, it almost cringes. Like I said, it's an investment. We're lucky we get to travel a little bit. We're at this current successful business owners, because I'm always knowledgeable of the fact that can be taken away from us in a split second. And I'm always humbled and grateful for what I have every day. And I think that's a really important thing to always stay grounded, is to be humbled when you wake up. And whether you have $1 million in the bank, you have $10 in the bank. Is when somebody comes to me and is booking a trip, and I've said to this people, I can't tell you how many times, I'll give you some options. This is why. And like, well, what about this place? And I'm like, that's a good option for you in your budget, but I won't sell it. And then they go and they spend it. And obviously they're spending it because they can't afford something a little more, or they didn't want to wait, or they're getting pressure from a family member to come on this trip. And then they go there and they hate it. They're disappointed. And then they come back and they're like, Matt, we wish we would have listened to you. We'll listen to you next time. And they do. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But it's tough. And I think that's anything in business, is presenting as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, you present to your customers a true product, and that makes you successful. It's not the short-term quick sale. I could sell probably 10 times more travel a lot quicker with a lot less headache and probably make a little bit more money. But that's not sustainable for the long haul. I'm looking for the long-term client relationship. I could send you to a place, come back, and it's all right, I wasn't impressed. But it's that honesty and that truth up front. This is why I'm sending you where I'm sending you. This is what we're doing. That's just so much more important to me. And I think anybody in the business world, your core values, your integrity, what you stand for. You know, we talk about this in our group all the time, your core values. So important all the time.
I mean, it has to align. I mean, you know, it's the biggest, one of the biggest epiphanies I had in business is when I realized that I was actually reading a book from Seth Godin called Tribes. And it talks about basically that if you try to lead everyone, you'll end up leading no one. And I translated that for me to being, not everybody is my customer. And then if I try to make everyone my customer, then in the end, I'll have no customers.
Absolutely.
You know, in that, you know, there's going to be a certain type of person. You're going to know who your avatar is, and you're going to know who you should be chasing after. And not every sale is a good sale. You know, I mean, we certainly, the way the guys run Sheepdog is if there's people that come in that don't align with us and that don't want to treat our staff in a respectful manner and some of those other things, we have zero tolerance for it. Well, we certainly refuse people business. We'll take the bad review from it. We'll leave a response and we'll stand by what we are. And what we found that is, so, you know, although you lose a little bit in the beginning, anything that you lose ends up being backfilled by twice as many people that do stand by your core core values, and then in the end you're happier anyway. They're happier. It's a much better relationship than trying to make someone a customer that you're not. I mean, you'll know it's just the people that are, you know, grinding and want to complain about everything, and you're never going to make them happy, and that's okay. And I feel sorry for them a lot of times, just because it's like, clearly the rest of your life must be that bad where, you know, you treat everyone this way, because, you know, it's like, I've learned is, you know what, you roll with the small things and you're just happy to be there, especially on vacation. I just see people that are just get like bent over the smallest thing, you know, like they're at the front desk screaming because there's some chip paint in their room, or, you know, I mean, come on, man, we're in paradise, you know, we're in paradise. There's, you know, look at the sun. You know, we've got the beach. You know, why are you in your room staring at the couple of paint chips and trying to get them to knock $10 off the room? You know, if you truly can't afford the place and you're stretching, then pick a cheaper place or save up or do something. But man, don't treat people like that. You know, but I'd imagine you probably find that in your industry too, that there's just some people that are just, you know, just not your customer, and that's okay. You know,
it's. When starting out, I think we all have that time where you want to appease everybody. You want everybody to be your customer. You want to make every sale, book every trip, sell every gun, whatever your industry is. And like you said, it's very important to align and realize who your customer is. We recently had, we got some very weird reviews around COVID time of people that never even booked with us. And then we had some people who had booked trips with us, and a lot of them, unfortunately, one of the other things in the travel world are these non-refundable rates, non-transferable, non-refundable. They're the cheap rates. And there's nothing you can do if you book that rate and you need to move it, cancel it. Sorry, it's in terms and conditions. I don't create it. I'm selling a product from X, Y, and Z. So we were getting reviews that we stole the money. We do this. I'm like, wait, the charge didn't come from us. It came from our provider, our supplier. Or they got a future cruise credit or a future airline credit. Nobody when the world was shutting down knew what the heck to do. But we recently just had a client who was actually a healthcare worker and went to one of our top-notch resorts that I know provides unbelievable service. I had just been there the week before, literally the week before. And the person's complaints were so outlandish, almost to the point of like you talk about like chipped paint. There was a cleaning bottle of a cleaning, you know, like a Windex bottle left in the room. It happens. Things happen. There was no kids. It wasn't like, you know, the kids got into it and accidentally drank it or God forbid something like that. And this was the cleaning lady's probably overworked. You know, they're saying, you know, they're understaffed. You know, be nice to the people who do show up every day. And the complaints just went on and on that they waited 10 minutes to be seated at the restaurant, to they didn't feel that there was enough alcohol in their drink, to the drink was too sweet, then it was too sour, then it was complaints that I don't even know how to respond to. Yeah. I mean, I do, but it's almost like same thing like you said. Like, that's really what's important. Like, here's this healthcare worker who went on one of our promos for healthcare workers. You know, the after working COVID, we've run a lot of specials and basically wiped away any profit for our company to help get our first responders, our healthcare workers, and get them the break that they deserve on any given day. The everyday work and abuse that our healthcare workers in the hospitals, to our first responders, our police officers, firefighters, paramedics, civil servants, the daily abuse is so incredible and has gotten so much worse in the past few years. And we thought it was, hey, what can we do for them? And I'm hounding our suppliers all the time. We need to run a special for healthcare workers. We need to run a special for police officers, firefighters, our paramedics, our EMTs, our first responders, everybody who's out there. And, you know, fortunately, but unfortunately, this past year, you know, frontline workers have become the new term. You know, everybody from, you know, the person in the supermarket to your police officers now roped into the same thing. And although, yes, they had a difficult job this past year, there is no comparison.
Not the same.
Between going to work every day, wondering if you're going to come home, to that type of a job. And that's not to discredit them or demean their importance. But I remember vividly my wife going to work one day. And, you know, she's an emergency room nurse. That's how we met. You know, she goes to work. She's in the ER. Is it dangerous? No, it's not dangerous. It's the emergency room. Yeah, there's some crazy people who've gone bonkers every once in a while and things happen. She actually watched me fight with a crazy person. She was 9 months pregnant in 2015. Literally, it was October 3rd. The only reason I remember that day, my daughter was born on November 9th. We brought somebody in for a psych eval, and this guy didn't want to be there and didn't like us. There was no tasers available at the time. We were in an emergency room where at the time our radios just did not work inside the emergency room. We had just gone to a new radio system, and we had called for help. We had asked for more units. Nothing worked. And we actually went tumbling over a stretcher. I tore the ligaments in my knee that day. And thankfully, my wife, being 9 months pregnant, standing behind the nurse's station, picks up the phone, calls 911. And use the emergency code for we need assistance. And luckily, a few minutes later, the cavalry came in. But for the most part, working in an emergency room, not a it's not a dangerous job. And then come last year, you know, my wife was going to work every day. We had a tent set up in the backyard. She was stripping down. She's wearing full hazmat suits. Like, that's what I did. I went to chemical biological school at Fort McLennan in Anniston, Alabama. You know, and I knew how to deal with that stuff. That's what we trained on. We used APRs and we had Scott packs and stuff like that. Not my wife. That wasn't her job. That wasn't our healthcare worker's job. So it's not the job of, you know, the everyday police officer, or even, you know, on the street, or your paramedics, your EMTs who are working, making minimum wage out there. So it's, we tried to do something extra for them, but unless you've been there, people truly don't understand. They might support, they might say it, but unless you've lived it, it's really hard to express. And even now, as you know, only being retired a month and being out of this game, it's very hard to express to somebody how difficult that is and how important. At the same point, I find it that that's maybe why I found myself in travel, because how important it is that you need to disconnect and you need to get away and you need to refresh your mind physically. You need to refresh your body physically, mentally, hit that reset button. And we've really been trying to do that with getting people to go away and really pushing that amongst our first responders. And it's been tough, you know, between the travel restrictions, the job restrictions, the cost. So we've really been trying to cut down the price as much as we've can this past year. And, you know, in that space, and it's been a challenge, but you know, we've gotten some good people away to a lot of good places. It's really been nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you're doing that, man. That's, you know, that's I think the biggest therapy they need. You know, it's like, see, my wife's a nurse practitioner. You know, I actually had her on the podcast. I think it'll be dropping next week. I think it's the next week one. But anyway, she took in she was working pretty much throughout the whole thing, and she's just, it's just crazy, just the stress. And it's the other part of it you hit on earlier was just how people are treating people, even like healthcare providers today. She's just like, she tells me some of these stories from work, and I'm like, guy said what to you? You know, I'm like, you know, just like, I just start, you know, every bit of my patience just with how some people act. You know, they come in 20 minutes late for their appointment, and then they're screaming that they have to wait. Like, hey, you should be thankful that you're even going to get fit in at this point. You know, it's like, if I'm going to be late for a doctor's appointment, if something happens, because stuff does, I mean, it's traffic and whatever else, but something happens, I'm getting on the phone. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to be there 10, 15 minutes late. Should I come or do we need to reschedule? Because I'm going to save myself a drive in, I'm going to save them the headache, and I'm going to let them choose whether or not, hey, you know what, stuff happens. And 98% of the time, they're so appreciative that you call, they'll fit you in. And just, you know, but it's just a common courtesy thing, but that seems to be something that's just lost, and it doesn't seem to be an age thing. You know, she just tells me some of these stories, and I'm just like, sorry, babe, I'm so sorry you have to go through that. It's just like, there's just been a wave of just entitlement, just going through everywhere. That's like, man, what happened? Just common courtesy and, you know, caring for your fellow humans and just, you know, I mean, just, I don't know. We're just in some strange times, especially like here in Chicago. I'm sure you're probably seeing the same thing in New York, but like comparing here to like our last trip to Mexico, or even my last trip to Texas, it's a complete opposite difference of just, if you're just in a store or in a restaurant, just the vibe or the feeling that you have, like for me in Chicagoland versus Texas, or especially like Mexico, which is completely different. It's just like a weight lifts off your shoulders, and it's just, you don't feel the tense people, and just everybody just has a totally different attitude about it. So have you noticed that with New York, with, you know, with you traveling so much, of hey, it's like this at home, but it's like this in other countries?
It's such a difference in so many ways. I can definitely say, as far as, you know, traveling from New York to Texas, and I have never been one to ever think that I was ever going to leave New York. And, you know, my wife and I have been looking at, you know, either possibly going to Texas, maybe going to Florida, possibly leaving. I never thought that would ever be a thing. Well, especially, yes, going to different islands in the Caribbean, there is such an appreciation, because the majority of these places, they depend on tourism and our dollars that we bring to them. They are so grateful to you know, to us for coming. And I remember the first time going into Mexico post COVID when the world reopened. I was there like 2 weeks later, and they were just, nobody knew what to do. Everybody was like, do we shake hands? Do we not? Do we hug? Do we do this? Do we do that? Like, what are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? But they were so grateful. There was such grace in the way they knew that there was light at the end of that tunnel, that here we are, we're back, we're in destination. We were posting every day. It's okay to come. It's okay. It's safe to travel. Versus here are all these businesses that took a toll, you know, from COVID or business issues, whatever it might be. And then you walk in and it's like, they can't be bothered to service you or help you. And then on the flip side of it, you also understand why some of them are like, well, F you, all I get is abused all day long. And that's it. People don't know how to treat people with respect. I would never in a million years speak to people the way that I watch people speak to my wife, your wife, our family, our friends, mm-hmm. our coworkers. Yes, a lot of times in the first responder world, like I said, we're dealing with people at their worst moment ever. And part of the training that you go through is that psychological first aid, that way to use that verbal jujitsu to calm and de-escalate a situation. And for many years that worked, like, just, you know, even sometimes you had to have that command presence and like, shut the hell up, knock it off, calm down, we're here to help you, or stop fighting with us. It's not going to end well either way, but it's, you go in and you're dealing with the people that are there to help you. You're put the police and first responders and people who wear a uniform aside for a second, because I get that there's a stigma to that. And we talk about, here's your healthcare workers who are there to save your life. That's their job. They're there to keep you healthy, save your life. If you're sick or ill or injured, they're going to nurse you back to health. And the abuse that they are taking day in and day out, not just from the patients, the families, the government, our politicians, our everybody, it burns people out. It's why people need vacations. They need a break. They need a reset. Life, we need a reset is really the best way to put it. And I only hope it happens sooner than later. I hope that those who are in that field, in that scope, whether you're a business owner who owns a restaurant and gets abused by the patron, that no matter what you do or what you serve them, you're not going to make them happy. Like you said, there's just certain things you just can't make everybody happy. Or that first responder, or that healthcare worker, or anybody. Just, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you're Black, you're white, you're Spanish, you're purple, where you hail from. I really don't give a shit. But I treat everybody with respect. And one of the neighborhoods that I worked in for a very long time was in an urban setting, and it was a minority community. And I don't even know what the proper allowable politically correct term is, but I was a white kid from Long Island working in a predominantly Black and Hispanic neighborhood. And every day I got to work, I treated everybody the same. Everybody got treated with respect, and people respected me for that. It didn't matter whether you spoke English, you didn't speak English, the color of your skin, whether you had a job or didn't have a job, if you were treated with respect. If you then acted like a jerk, you got treated like a jerk. But this world, we just need to have a little bit more tolerance. But it's also not okay to have a free-for-all, I think, is where people think it's okay to just not follow rules, not do the right thing. I think it's just, that's it. It goes back to your core values and why we surround ourselves with people that have that same value, that same belief system. And like I said, I don't care what you believe in. We live in a country where the men and women who came before us fought to give us the right to vote, fought to give us the right to have our own opinions, not agree. We don't have to agree. And whether or not you like our president, our former president, our next president, or whoever it might be, we have to respect each other. You know, if you voted for a Republican or a Democrat and you're called a jerk on social media and blocked and banned and your family won't talk to you because of, it's like, that's the purpose of the beauty of our democracy. But we shouldn't be hating on each other because of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a crazy, like you said, a crazy, crazy world.
Yeah, be interesting to see what comes next. But, oh, wow, man, time just flew by here. Yeah. So I like to sum it up. I always like to do a ask for what is your one biggest productivity tip that you would give our fellow business owners if they just want to get more done, be more efficient? One simple tip that you use every day.
Make a schedule. Use a calendar. Our main business coach, Ryan Stuman, talks about this all the time. Schedule it, plan it, stick to it. Have your non-negotiables every day. Set your time to get up, get your ass out of bed. Don't make excuses. We all have those days we don't want to do it, but follow your schedule. I have my schedule of my time is blocked. You know, you and I had our appointment today to do this. There's nothing coming between that. You know, short of one of my kids being sick or something happening. But this is what your goals for the day. Have a schedule. Plan it out. That will make such a difference in your productivity every single day. And you will end your day instead of, and it happened to me, instead of your day ending of, shit, I was so busy today, but I feel like I got nothing done, to, wow, I had my schedule of 30 things today and 28 of them got accomplished.
Absolute gold. All right. Where can people connect with you if they want to need to book some travel the right way, or just want to ask you some questions, or want to find out about where their next dream vacation should be?
Whether it's travel, it's business, whatever it might be, Maddie K Travel Group. I am on all social media. Maddie K El Capitan is my Facebook profile. We didn't get into that, but that's a story for another day. But I'm on all social media, Maddie K Travel. You could find me. Anybody can always send me a message. I'm always around on social media.
All right. That's awesome. And we will definitely include all that in the show notes. So if anyone's listening and you didn't get that wrote down, just look at the notes and all the links will be there. Thanks so much for joining me today, Maddie. Really love the conversation. If you know someone else that could use to hear this one, please feel free to tag them, make sure they're subscribing, share it all over social media. Let's get this message out to the world. Thank you all, and we will see you next week.
Thanks so much, Steve. See you soon.
Thanks, Manny.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.